So the Holy Gospel is written in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 28, beginning to read at verse 1. Glory to you, O Lord. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Oh, happy Easter, everyone. I love this time of the year. It's more special to me than Christmas. You know, Christmas is really important, and neither could subsist without the other. Easter just brings everything to its conclusion. Everything is brought to its purpose and its meaning. Everything is brought to its end for the sake of the beginning. If you've been following Easter or not, the whole journey through the time of Lent and then Palm Sunday, bringing us into Holy Week, the week of Christ's Passion, everything that Jesus then was bringing to its head. And the event of Maundy Thursday, the Last Supper, and then that time in the garden in which Jesus spends his final moments with those he had chosen to share this good news with, his disciples whom he truly and deeply loved and cared about, but also who he entrusted and valued and was going to build his whole message upon, whom they too shared their love for him, beginning to believe that he was truly the Messiah in all the miracles and the teachings. "To whom shall we go," says Peter says, "if not to you?" And that very love between them is torn apart that very night of Good Friday, torn from their fellowship. And from that moment, the disciples' hearts are gripped with fear. They disperse, they run, they betray, they deny that love and friendship for Jesus. And in that running, in that fear, they find somewhere to hide away in the darkness of the night. And then suddenly, it's the Sabbath, in which nothing can happen on the Sabbath. They can't even carry the mat in which they slept on. Nothing could be done other than quietness and observation and contemplation of their life and faith with God. When I was a child, we often taken to go and see my grandma in Belfast. All my family's from Belfast. And they were good, true, strong Protestant Christians. And we were brought up in the army, so we kind of missed a lot of the Christian teachings. And so on Sunday, it was kind of like another day. And we used to play games quite a lot with each other, us as a family, six of us as children. But we went to my grandma's. You could do nothing, nothing on the Sunday. You had to be quiet and be still. Be seen and not be heard. So my mum used to creep upstairs with us so we could play top trumps in the top attic room and it was quiet. But my grandma wasn't to know that. You could do nothing on this Sabbath. And when Sabbath broke and the dawn of a new day shone into the darkness, the women, as you heard Michelle saying, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, it says, which might have been Mary, the mother of John and Joseph, or maybe the other Mary of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were there, walking towards the tomb. They were the same two Marys that on the previous night had saw Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus taking Jesus off the cross, and they saw these guys put Jesus into the tomb and roll the rock across. And they were there on the way then to, as it was customary, anoint the oil, Jesus with the oils, as a way of marking the respect of somebody who's now laid at rest. But as they approached this tomb, surrounded by the guards that were placed there by Pontius Pilate on request of the high priests, knowing that if Jesus' body wasn't there on the third day, these followers of Jesus Christ would claim that he has risen again, were put in place so that nobody could take their body away, were stood firm. But then there was an almighty shake of the earth and the ground, and their hearts were gripped with fear. They saw all of a sudden heaven open up and this angelic being ascend down around them, in which his appearance, not his face, but his whole appearance was like lightning. And his clothes, they could only describe, was as white as snow, appeared before them. Their hearts were gripped with fear. And then the stone, by the power and by the presence of that angelic being, rolled the stone away, and their hearts were gripped with fear. And then the angel placed himself upon the stone, and their hearts were gripped with fear. I don't know if any of you have ever had your hearts gripped with fear, that it just paralyzes you, that you can do nothing but stare. You're immobile. You become a statue. You're caught up in that fear in your heart. If I could just show you the little story that doesn't really have parallels to seeing this angelic being placed upon this stone doing what he did. But years and years ago, in another life of mine, when I was in the army, I was in Yugoslavia as a United Nations soldier, trying to bring some sensibility and peace between the warring factions as Yugoslavia was falling apart. And part of our role was to pick up so many supplies and in convoy take it up to these mountain routes, up to these villages where some of the camps were based. And going across these mountainous roads, they're really thin, especially for trucks, and they're not hard paving. They're kind of loose gravel full of water and potholes. And at the edge, there's a ravine, sometimes 200, 300, 400-foot drops on the edges, and there's no barriers to keep you in. So every time you go up, you're hoping that you're going to get up there and back again safely. And when we got there, we dropped all our stuff off. The next day, temperatures dropped to about minus 15. We had to sleep in our cabs. I woke up in the morning, and where I'd slept, and my breath, everything had just turned to ice. It was that cold. It was freezing. And we set off on the journey. And along the way, my vehicle broke down. The vehicles just weren't used to that kind of temperatures. And then they put this massive, chunky tow bar on, and I was towed down the hillside by this vehicle, obviously, in front of me, in a convoy of 8 vehicles. And as you rounded this corner with a 400-foot drop, there was black ice there. And the 2 vehicles in front of us managed to slide around the corner. But I hadn't seen it, because I was behind this vehicle, couldn't see a thing. But all of a sudden, his brake lights kept coming on. And I thought, something's not right here. Started to pump my brakes as well. And all of a sudden, I could see that nothing was happening, and he was just sliding towards this ravine. And that fear began to grip my heart, that I was powerless to do anything. I was being dragged forward by this vehicle. I was facing certain death. If I was going to go over there, we were both gone. Somehow the vehicle caught around and just gripped his vehicle. But I kept on going, being towed in that direction. And the fear that went through me was incomprehensible. It just welled up, it paralyzes you. And so these soldiers were faced with that grip of fear. And it says in Scripture they were like dead people, motionless. But these two women too had felt this tremendous earth around them shake. And their hearts must have been gripped with fear. And they too saw this angel fall out of heaven and come around them shining bright as lightning. And there too, their hearts are gripped with fear. And to see that stone being rolled away and the angel position himself over that, and that presence, their hearts were gripped with fear. But what was different between the guards and the Marys, the women, was that the angel spoke into their fear and said, "Do not be afraid." And so their hearts entered into a reassurance that this angelic being had not come to harm them, but had come to bring them a message from heaven. Just like when the archangel appeared to Mary, the mother of Jesus, 33 years earlier, and said, as he appeared before her, in all his brightness, in all his glory and power, when Mary's heart was gripped with fear, he said, "Do not be afraid." And then the angel says, "I know who you come to look for, Jesus Christ, but he is not here. He is risen. Come, enter into this space, into this dark tomb, and see for yourself." And so their hearts entered into hope. And as they went in, he says, "Now you've seen it, go quickly. Tell the other disciples that they need to meet Jesus Christ, who is risen, in Galilee." And so their hearts, it says, were filled with fear, but also filled with joy. And knowing that the angel was around them and the urgency of the message, they didn't just skip off in that joy or hold hands and talk about what they'd just seen. They moved quickly as they could away from that scene that was still holding them in that grip of fear. But as they were heading off with that keenness in their hearts and that quickness of what they'd just witnessed, it wasn't the shaking earth that gave them the evidence they need to believe in the risen Jesus Christ. It wasn't the presence of the angelic being amongst them that convinced them of the evidence of Jesus Christ. It wasn't the stone rolled away and the invitation to the tomb, the hard evidence that it was empty, that convinced them of the risen Jesus Christ. It's when they were running towards the disciples that Jesus suddenly appeared before them. And the reaction was to be full of fear, but they fell. They fell face down at Jesus' feet, and then they believed. But in that fear, Jesus speaks into their hearts and says, "Do not be afraid. Go tell the disciples what you have seen. Tell them the good news, and I will meet them in Galilee." They had to go to Galilee. The message was so important. At this Easter time, it reminds us that in their fear and that grip, that Easter is about new beginnings. It's about new life and new growth. Easter, in a similar way like to Christmas, it draws our families together. It draws the community, the neighborhood together. And you may be sharing some of your Easter day with family people later on. Or maybe in this coming week, you may be bumping to 1, 2, 5, 10, 20 people that don't know the story of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I was watching the news this morning, and they were showing pictures of Easter egg trees like this. Lovely decorations people had sent in. And as I was looking at them, one of the presenters, he said, "You know, Easter used to be about the resurrection and the story of Jesus. But it's not like that anymore. That's disappeared. You don't see it." And he went on then to show more pictures. And he thought, my goodness, how profound is that? Easter has lost its message. It's become more prevalent and more important to celebrate Easter with the decorations of chocolate and chicken eggs. and I was heartbroken. But why isn't Easter all about the resurrection of Jesus? And it's because of his church. This morning, Easter demands of us a sense of orientation of what it is that you believe about Jesus Christ. And maybe your heart is gripped with doubt and uncertainty. Maybe your heart is gripped with fear of not knowing what it is to have Jesus Christ in your life. And there might be an opportunity for you today to ask the Lord Jesus to come in, to make a difference, to make himself real, because he's the only one in whose evidence we can believe that he is alive. And he does that in his most extraordinary, supernatural, heavenly and earthly love. Or maybe that our hearts are gripped with fear, that we have this good news in us, but we are immobile, we are paralyzed with fear to be able to share that with somebody else. And you're meeting people all the time who do not know Jesus. What grips you in that fear? Because brothers and sisters, and including myself in this, it's up to us to get that story out there. What grips us with fear? The thing is, Jesus Christ knows you. He knows what your thinking is. He knows your strengths and he knows your limitations. And whatever's holding you back from telling other people about that good news, Jesus Christ says, do not be afraid. Go tell the others. Let this Christmas time be a challenge for you to tell that good news. Is it Christmas? I love Christmas, but not as much as Easter. At this Easter time, to use the opportunity to tell somebody what it is that you believe in. And it might be this afternoon you tell people, how was your Easter? Or during the coming week, how did your Easter go? Let them tell you how it went. They may say that they spent quality time with their family, with their children. Excellent, that's really important. And maybe they got a break and went away somewhere. That's fantastic, they've got to. And maybe they had time in painting some eggs and do some Easter trees. That's great as well. And if they say to you, how did your Easter go? What are you going to tell them? Because that's where it begins. That's where the grip of fear holds your heart or the grip of joy. It's up to you. God's given you that good news to have and to hold and to bear. What we do with it can either bring somebody to know Jesus Christ or we can miss the opportunity and they go on celebrating Christmas the way they've always done. Easter. It's in my head now that it's Christmas, but it's Easter. But it's really up to us, isn't it? The stone has been rolled away. Our hearts now have entered into that reassurance. It's entered into that hope. Our hearts have entered into that joy. It doesn't take the fear away, does it, when you're stood next to somebody to say, I believe in Jesus Christ. But why shouldn't you if you're proud of him? You have no shame in your heart. If you have no doubt that Jesus died for you and rose again the next day or the third day to say, come and follow me into eternity. When that vehicle was heading towards that ravine and the vehicle that was towing went that way and I was heading that way, the whole bar twisted around. And then that fear just broke in me when I thought, all I need to do is open the door and jump out. And I'd be fine. But my fear, of course, is that when the vehicle goes off, it's going to drag the vehicle towing me back over that ravine. But all that went out of my head, I had to save myself. And I tried to open the door, but the tow bar had bent everything up. I couldn't open it. So I was sliding towards the edge. And I thought then, as I do now, all that fear in me, if I had known Jesus Christ, what difference would that have made? Well, I'd gone towards the edge of that ravine with fear in my heart, thinking this is just the end. Wish I could have spoken to my family, tell them one more time how much I loved them and my friends. Or would I approach that ravine and thought, glory, hallelujah, Lord, take me, I'm ready. I trust and I believe in you. I think even now, I would have done the first one. Because my strength of faith isn't as good as it should be. So it's a message for all of us. That vehicle went around, had enough momentum just to pull me around as well. And we were both saved. But I know, looking back now, that we all face that ravine, don't we? And it's only Jesus Christ who has turned us around, turned our life around, turned our hearts around from the grip of fear and filled it with joy and filled it with life. So there's the Easter's message. There's the Easter story. It's now up to you what you do with it. It is a gift from God. Make a commitment today to say you're going to follow the Lord Jesus and see what difference it makes in your life. Make a decision today that if just one person you asked how their Easter was, with your heart prepared to tell them how your Easter was, what it meant to you, to see them and feel the joy, not just in your heart, but the joy in heaven when you reached out in faith. It's a fresh start, it's a fresh perspective, and we do it together in fellowship. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, when you drew your disciples together, you said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Help us in all the things that grip our hearts in doubt, uncertainty, and fear, to give us a pure heart that lets those things go and fills us with the confidence, the certainty, and the love that we have for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. And give us the strength, the courage, and the character. Equip us of all the words that we need to say and do. Help us to live our lives that is new and growing in that faith. And so we do it all for you. For Jesus, who died for us, who rose to new life and caused us to follow him. And we do so in pure heart and in faith. Amen.